Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That's amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gao Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to the show. It is great solo, or it is great as a mixer. 7-Up, enjoy the crisp, clean taste of 7-Up. 7-Up delivers more of the natural lemon-lime flavor you love. No caffeine, 100% natural flavor. 7-Up, always refreshing. And don't forget 7-Up 10, which has the full flavor of 7-Up with only 10 calories. Finally, the perfect 10. You can make a thing called a Paloma with that, by the way. And for those of you who know a little bit about the spirit tequila, you know what I'm talking about. It's a good mixer, 7-Up. Good by itself as well. All right, quickly to the phone lines. Let's go to Chris. Chris, what's on your mind tonight?
Hey, so I'm a huge Chelsea fan. Been watching them for as long as I can remember. And I admit Mourinho lost the clubhouse, and that's definitely part of the concern for them right now. But I do have to say that just the play of everybody on that team, and I personally, I think Hazard especially, has been very poor. And I got to think that you got to put at least some of the blame on them and not entirely on Mourinho. I just want to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, listen, I've said it throughout the night that there's always accountability on players. You can play in spite of a manager, okay? In fact, sometimes the fact that players don't like their manager becomes very motivational. I've been on teams like that. And I'm sure that works at the Premier League level as well. I've also heard pretty bizarre stories that players tank it and don't play well on purpose because they want to get a manager fired. We hear that in sports in America, whether it's the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball. That happens as well. Do we really know what happened in that locker room? No. Do we know that there was a divide between a coach and players? Absolutely. And the tip-off to me is it was getting embarrassing. And player performance, you're accountable for your own player performance. That's one part of it. But a manager has a part of it as well. And the leadership of men and the challenge of coaching guys that are multimillionaires who, you know, in some ways don't always have to grow up and in some ways do, is incredibly difficult. I always go, when it comes to the NBA, I go to Pop in San Antonio. Now, there's some old school stuff that goes on down there. There's also some progressive stuff that goes on there in San Antonio with Popovich. He's hired a female to be an assistant coach. But I was thinking to myself today, much as I've thought about Major League Soccer, if you're a young player coming into the NBA, oh, man, I'll tell you what, you're going to learn lessons there early. Not only from the coach, but the culture he's created. And that's healthy for your long-term, playing career. Major League Soccer. When I was in youth development, I had kids I knew that were going to get drafted. I didn't want them to get drafted based on the pay scale into cities that had high cost of living. I wanted them to go to places like Columbus or Dallas, places where the financial stress would be a little bit less because they weren't getting paid anything. I mean, the money they were making, if you ended up in a New York or a San Jose, are you kidding me? So some of it's fate. Other parts of it is planning and maturity, but I don't think there's any question that the players at Chelsea also are very accountable. But, I mean, you had to fire the manager. The guy just went off the boil. He was nuts. 713-780-3776 is the number. So we heard the interview with Argentine Christian Maidana. Hey, Dynamo fans, are you excited about getting a number 10? I don't get the sense people are excited about the number 10. I don't get the sense that people are excited about the Christian Maidana signing. A Dynamo fan, are you out there? Are you living? Are you breathing? And then I would carry that over to Andrew Wenger. Now, Owen Coyle's trying to implement a more a wide game, widening the game out, penetration out wide. Now, this will be the challenge for Andrew Wenger. Now, because you're big and you're powerful and you can run doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be a good penetrator. Can you set opponents up? Can you combine with others to get behind people? Can you beat people off the dribble? These are the things that are going to be the challenge for Andrew Wenger. We have seen that he can do these things. Can he do it consistently? The Dynamo need penetration. We've been saying this for years. You can't play in front of defenses. It is difficult. Yes, you have to for portions of games. But at some point, you have to break people down. And anybody who's a striker knows if you're not getting wide penetration and getting behind people and drawing a center back or two out of the middle, life is difficult for a striker. It is the ultimate search of space. Now you think about the days when Brian Ching was successful. You had threat out of midfield with De Rosario. You had penetrators out wide in Mullen. You had penetrators out wide in Davis at that time. And Wade Barrett, quite frankly, coming forward from the left back position. But when you've got threat from different areas, it's difficult to contend with. And, you know, to be fair, the Dynamo last year, how many penetrators do they really have? Giles Barnes, who you can say was effective for half the season, the first half, very effective, not effective in the second half. And then it was all on DeMarcus Beasley. And after that, where did it come from? 713-780-3776. Talk to me. 713-780-3776. So there's pressure on Andrew Wenger. You know, you don't like to say that, but that's the truth because you're trying to implement a new system here. We still don't know what the future of Brad Davis is. With the change in playing style, the change in system, I don't know. What do you think the future of Brad Davis should be for the Houston Dynamo? A legendary player. And then we go to Christian Maidana, who in that interview likened himself playing style-wise to Juan Riquelme. Juan Román Riquelme, Argentine international. Now, remember what type of player he was. He was a guy that the ball was funneled through consistently, a passing machine, a decision maker, but everything was funneled through him. Remarkable vision, remarkable razor-sharp skill set to get out of situations that you just, how do you get out of there? 2-3 guys closing him down, he comes out of there, lifts his head up, and releases a pass that gets behind a line of a team. So that's who he likened himself to, Riquelme. So pretty interesting. Maidana is interesting in this way. He ticks the box of being a passer of the ball. Now, I know all the data and the analytics are coming out. He had a bunch of assists. I don't know if these are primary assists, secondary assists. I don't even know if that matters because the bottom line is it says he was involved in a lot of goals for the Philadelphia Union. How the Dynamos surround him is going to be a big piece. There is the need for another holding midfielder alongside Ricardo Clark, my opinion. There is a need for another central defender, my opinion. And that's not it. So this will be a player that will sit higher up the field, that will try to float behind an opponent's midfield, will try to create passing angles so he can get a ball and turn and face defenses, and then he can hurt you. He is not going to pick up a ball, in my humble opinion, watching him, and beat 2 or 3 guys, run into the penalty area and slip a ball in the corner or lay it off for a finish.
3 minutes.
It's going to be more creating that vital yard or two of space off a defender, creating and providing himself some separation so he can pick his head up and then become the great passer of the ball that he is. He's a hell of a value when it comes to the salary cap. And you got to hope this is going to work. But for me, purely the fact that the Dynamo are going to play for a number 10 with a number 10 that is not going to have the defensive responsibility of others, I think is something to be interested in and excited about. But I don't get the sense that Christian Maidana, the Argentine, is getting that excitement from Dynamo fans. And frankly, If you disagree with me, call me. 713-780-3776. We'll continue this discussion next week as well. So we got a lot going on here. Monday and Tuesday we'll have shows again. Tyler Scott will be here. We'll produce. We'll go Monday. We'll go Tuesday next week. I got a lot of good interviews being lined up for you. We'll continue to talk about, you know, the whole Brad Davis situation, the Dynamo situation. There's more to come from the Dynamo. I think there are going to be more foreign signings. I think there's also going to be some domestic moves. And the Dynamo can't stand pat. They got a lot of work to do, and they're after it. There's a draft coming up. They've been down. They were in Kansas City scouting the College Cup on the men's side. There's a lot happening. All right, so we'll take a break here now. Here's what we got lined up coming up. Rodrigo de Luna has worked many years with Fiesta, has a level of expertise covering the Mexican League. We're going to talk some Mexican League football coming up. Then after that, it'll be Dynamo president Chris Canetti. So we got a nice second hour coming up here. And we appreciate you tuning in here on a Friday night. Hope you're listening in the car. Podcasts are always available at podcastarena.com and on iTunes. Our podcasts go up very quickly. You can also follow me at Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock. Facebook, It's Soccer Matters. Like us, friend us, go over there, have an opinion, have a take, be a part of it. And let's continue to grow this game together. We got an amazing year coming up. We got women's Olympic qualifying coming up. We've got Copa Centenario in Mexico and that tournament coming to Energy Stadium. We've got the NCAA Men's College Cup. The content's ridiculous. Our bars are going to be packed in July with the European Championships here in Houston. It's going to be a lot of fun with the game of soccer coming up here in the future. All right, we'll take a quick break here. Make it a Bud Light break, 7-Up break combined. Again, our thanks, Daspit Law Firm, Bud Light, 7-Up, Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture, Amigo Energy, Daspit Law Firm. We all thank you for your great support of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. I'm Glenn Davis. We will take a break. We're coming back. Much more of the best in soccer talk, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gau Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to the show. By the way, the Daspit Law Firm is working for you 24-7. We all need a good personal injury attorney here in Houston. He handles, and that's John Daspit, personal injury cases from plant and refinery accidents, medical injuries, industrial, 18-wheeler, right on down to wrongful death. It's thedaspitlaw.com is where you go. 713-364-0915, daspitlaw.com. And with John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, you can rest more assured in times of stress, depending on the circumstances of your accident, that you have a hard-hitting personal injury attorney on your side to fight for your right to compensation. Again, contact the Daspit Law Firm, supporters of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5 at 713-364-0915. Toll-free both in English and Spanish, 888-273-1045. That is the Daspit Law Firm. And with that, longtime friend, correspondent to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Many remember him for his great work with the sport of soccer while at Fiesta. He is Rodrigo de Luna. Rodrigo, thank you very much for coming on the program.
Good evening, Glenn. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. So some big news, and the reason I wanted you on is you're a guy that's very in tune to what's going on with the Mexican League. And today, and in recent times here, Mexico midfielder Marco Fabian is going to join Eintracht Frankfurt in Germany. $4 million deal. He's going to the Bundesliga. What a great moment this is for Marco Fabian, Mexican soccer.
How you doing, Glenn? Yeah, it's true. The news broke out here in the last couple of days, and it is big news for Marco Fabian, and if he can stay focused and curb his discipline, I think he might have a good chance.
Now, do you get the sense that in some ways that when Chicharito Hernandez produces as he has so well for Bayer Leverkusen, that maybe the scale tips a little bit to people then beginning to analyze, critique, and look with a little bit more interest towards the Mexican soccer player when it comes to Europe.
Yes, that's true. You know, and Chicharito has, in that fact, has focused a spotlight on some Mexican players. But Chicharito is a different type of player from a lot of Mexican players, where he's very, very disciplined. You know, he's not a party animal. He's not a partier. He's very, very serious about his work. Mr. Alex Ferguson has always said he was one of the first ones there and always stayed after practice to work on his balance, work on in the weight room, and work hard. So Chicharito has a very strong work ethic. That's what's made him successful.
Yeah, you've mentioned work ethic twice here now. I mean, is that to you a problem with the Mexican player?
Well, you know, you talk about Marco Fabian, who's very talented, very good striker, very smart, but his off-field antics have gotten in trouble. He's known to be a party animal. He's known to have gotten himself in trouble. And, you know, it's been recorded when he went to Cruz Azul, where a lot was expected of him also, and he didn't deliver as everybody thought he would. He went back to Chivas, and he had his moments of glory, but still, again, you know, he's not really lived up to the expectation of what he's, you know, he's viewed as for his talent. And, you know, a lot of Mexican players have fallen by the wayside in the past. Not all of them, but a lot of have, because they're indisciplined. They're off-field, you know. They like to party. You know, that affects your game.
He's 26-year-old Marco Fabian, now heading to the German Bundesliga with Eintracht Frankfurt. It was a $4 million deal. Now, remember, Marco Fabian was very significant in Mexico's gold medal winning 2012 Olympics. I had the opportunity to cover some of those games and call those games. And he had a great Olympics. It brought him to the attention of Europe. He, as Rodrigo mentioned, went on loan to Cruz Azul. And then he has had some interest from Major League Soccer, obviously, from Atlanta United, who's going to debut in 2017. So, you know, listen, it's not lost on Major League Soccer teams here that if you can get a Mexican star, it can certainly help you put people in the seats and sell jerseys. If Marco Fabian had come to Major League Soccer, do you think that would have been a pretty shattering move for Atlanta United and kind of getting them off on the right foot?
You know, it all depends on where he goes. You know, American sports, you know, the culture of American sports is about hard work. It's about, you know, excellence, and it's about discipline. This is something that, you know, when you go to Europe also, when you go to especially a league like the Bundesliga, you're expected to work hard and buckle down. Now, it depends. You know, I always said Rafa Márquez went to New York to party. You know, and I'm still not convinced about Giovanni Dos Santos at L.A. You know, those are party cities. So it all depends. And then the culture that's around you. And if you go to a club that's, you know, that with the work ethic that the coach is strict, it depends. It could be good for him. Maybe it's good for him to go to a place where, you know, you're supposed to buckle down and get to work. You know, maybe that's good for him. Maybe it'll do him some good.
Well, I think it's a pivotal moment in his career, Rodrigo, because these opportunities don't come along more than once sometimes. And I think if you're going to the German Bundesliga, the highest attended league in the world, this is a major opportunity and a major litmus test for Marco Fabian. Hence, he could be back playing the rest of his career in the Mexican League if he's not successful here. Do you like him at the top of a three-man midfield as a high midfielder behind a striker, or do you like him coming from a wide position?
You know, he's been pretty good at both. At Cruz Azul, he was shifted to the wide position, and you know, when he was on his game, he did well. He did very well because he made it tough for a lot of defenders. But also in the center point there, he can be effective. But again, you gotta get balls to him. You gotta make sure he's got a steady feed of passes. It all depends on the system of the coach, the system of the team. But I think he can flourish in both positions. You know.
It's going to be an interesting deal because there's no doubt Marco Fabian's versatility will definitely help him, but he's got to make an impact. He's going to have to adjust quickly to the demands of playing in Germany, the culture, all these other things, which Chicharito seemingly has had no problems which I think is pretty fantastic. All right, I'm going to move on to Jorge Villafañe from the Portland Timbers, who in the last year and a half to me has just turned into a better one-on-one defender, which has made him, to me, a guy that is more valuable. And that's very obvious in the fact that he won the MLS Cup with Portland as a left back, and he's now been picked up by Santos in Mexico. What do you think of that move?
I think it's a good move. Santos definitely needed, because Santos after winning the championship the season before, I mean, they were atrocious this season. They even lost to, they lost to the Cuban national team. And, you know, they were atrocious at times. Their defending was very weak. They constantly lost concentration. So, yeah, they need a player like Real Fondo to be able to anchor the defense. Because if not, they're going to have an atrocious season. So they definitely need to build in the back.
Let's go to Javier Chicharito Hernandez, who's just been remarkable in Germany. It sort of coincides with the fact that Manchester United has struggled. There's thoughts that Louis van Gaal is going to be moving on, the manager there. So let's focus on Chicharito and his success in Germany and what it means back to the country of Mexico and aspiring players there and the fan base. And would you call him, Rodrigo, the most popular athlete in Mexico?
I would, for many reasons. One, because of his personality. He's, you know, he's very positive. He's a hard worker. He epitomizes the hardworking spirit of the Mexican. He speaks English. He went to Manchester United and impressed because of his work ethic and his goal tally. And he went to Real Madrid, though he was on the bench for the time. You know, he worked hard. Every time he went in, he scored. And he has, again, that work ethic that no matter where he's at, he's going to give it his best. So, and also the fact that, you know, the way he was treated in Manchester United by both David Moyes and by Van Gaal, many people see it as injustice for him to go to the Bundesliga and score in all competitions. It kind of vindicates him and it vindicates the Mexican fans' belief in him.
Do you think the pressure that Chicharito needed to respond to after really not getting the opportunity maybe he deserved at Manchester United? That's probably fair to say, but let's also face it, he was behind some pretty incredible strikers, including Robin van Persie. But the fact that he's lived up to this pressure after going to Germany and producing these goals and becoming a primary goal scorer, did that surprise you? And then second part of it would be how he is respected back home in Mexico.
I don't think it's so much pressure, Glenn. I think his work ethic brings his own pressure on himself. It's the opportunities. You know, Javier Hernandez did not get much opportunity at Real Madrid, and Van Gaal was unwilling, and this is true, because Van Gaal's own words, he was unwilling to give him. He told him, you have 1% chance to play. But when he's been called to play, he's done well. He's proven that. He's proven at Real Madrid. He saved them 2 or 3 times, right? So I don't think there's so much pressure on him. He needs opportunity and confidence from the coaching staff that will give him the time to show it. And I think that's what he's done. He's responded to his asking for the opportunity.
Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5 correspondent Rodrigo De Luna joining us here. We're talking about Javier Chicharito Hernandez. And on that point, here's what Chicharito said when it came to his last year and being at Manchester United trying to get playing time. He said, quote, "The board told me that I could go on loan to Real Madrid last season. It wasn't a difficult decision for me. Then I returned to Manchester. I started to have opportunities. But one day I spoke with Van Gaal and I had only a 1% chance of playing, so I needed to make magic. So I moved to Bayer. I have been confident since the first day and I feel important here." He's talking about Bayer Leverkusen. "Not only for the goals, but in all the games, I see myself in the lineup." So to your point, this was a guy that was pretty intelligent. And at one point just, you know, look, I can't continue to fester here on the bench. I have to go to a place where I can play. Then on the other hand, you got to say when Manchester United comes calling, how do you turn that down?
Well, you know, and the first time out he did. He saw an opportunity, grabbed it, he did the best he could. His first goal was here in Houston during the All-Star match. I remember that.
That's
that was
right.
His first goal for Manchester United. Not an official one, but, you know, he showed that he can score.
Well, it was pretty official for me. It was in front of 70,000 people during the MLS All-Star. No, I know what you're saying, but I'm just saying that was a big moment. And as much as it was about Manchester United that night at it was then Reliant Stadium, because of Chicharito's effect and the amount of Mexican soccer fans that are here in Houston, that was a big night for Mexican soccer as well.
Well, and you know, you see, knowing Manchester United, knowing Alex Ferguson, what kind of his coaching style, how He inspires players. He gives them confidence. You know, he makes them want to work hard, and he gives them opportunities. And Javier Hernández, he prospered in that. He did well. And but under Louis Van Gaal, who is very very he's very very stubborn, and he's very unflexible. He doesn't bend. He makes up his mind, and he won't shift from it. And you know, under a person like that, it's hard for. And you see what's going on now. Manchester United is not playing well. They're not scoring. They, you know, Bournemouth beat them in the last game. And you see the way they play. And you see they're missing people like Di Maria. And they're definitely missing Javier Hernández. But, you know, when he went to Bayer Leverkusen, he saw this opportunity. Here's my chance to prove everybody wrong. Here's my chance to show that, you know, I deserve the opportunity. I deserve the minutes to play. I can make it. Known that I am a valuable asset to any team, whether it's Manchester United, whether it's Real Madrid, Bayern Leverkusen, he was at Guadalajara. He's shown that. All he needs is confidence and the opportunity. And he's one of those type of players that will respond. He will pay back the confidence given to him. He's shown it.
Yeah, it's a great story, and it's great for me to see him. I love seeing him score goals in Germany. I think it's just very impactful. It's a statement from him. All right, so there are players that are kind of downward trending right now. Let's go to Guillermo Ochoa, who's a goalkeeper for Malaga. He's not playing for El Tri. He's not been very relevant for Malaga either. Talk to me about where Guillermo Ochoa is right now.
Guillermo Ochoa is kind of in the same boat that Javier Hernández was. He's not getting a minute. The Nigerian goalkeeper from Malaga is doing a good job. And it's going to be hard for Guillermo Ochoa to see him as he gets hurt. And he's not getting minutes. And, you know, his form is going to suffer. And while he's not playing, you know, Jose Osorio is not going to give many minutes to the national team. That's just, unfortunately, that's the way it is.
And I'm going to move on to Carlos Vela of Real Sociedad in Spain, who's only scored 2 goals, I believe, for them. Has not played that well in Spain. You know, so much was made about him ultimately coming back to the national team. What do you think his impact has been with El Tri? He's definitely not a first-team player for El Tri now, I don't think. What are your thoughts about Carlos Vela?
Carlos Vela has a mixed bag. I mean, you know, the injury he got last season sidelined him for a while. And I think he's got a lot of things going in his head. He's being wooed by MLS. He's being wooed by numbers, and you know he talks about soccer not being his passion, basketball's his passion. So I think his head's not on right at this moment. He's talented. He can score, but he's going also to a patch right now. He's going to a patch. A lot of strikers go through that. You know, where balls just don't go in. You know, he's a hard worker and. You have to credit him because he's like Javier Hernández. He's always trying and trying and trying. But it's a mixed bag. It's hard to say what apart from coming back from injury and going through a rough patch. You know, but it's up to him. It's up to him to say, you know what, let's get this going again. Let me show people again why I was chosen to be the striker. And, you know, I think it's his destiny rests in his hands.
Yeah. Rodrigo de Luna joining us here. You remember him for his many years at Fiesta, helping groom the sport of soccer here in Houston. Also a Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 correspondent, personal friend of mine. I want to move on a little bit here to you are a member of the Bayou City Blues, which is a Chelsea supporters group that meets on the weekends to watch Chelsea games. You guys certainly were living large last year with the title. In the last seven, with the last 7 months, though, you guys have lived it in the other direction now down there with an absolute descent from the pinnacle of the Premier League now to being a team that's just above the relegation zone, 9 losses in the Premier League, stuff that's been unheard of in the history of the league. And, of course, it ultimately flamed out with Jose Mourinho blaming everybody and anybody, and it became pretty embarrassing, I thought, to Chelsea. He has been fired now. How about some of your thoughts just on Mourinho and Chelsea and where they're at and sort of this? I mean, nobody would have figured this out.
Well, you know, when you're a fan of a team, regardless of any sport, you have to understand there's going to be good times, there's going to be some tough times. So you have to understand that, you know, teams go through these cycles. The funny part with Chelsea was that, you know, Mourinho is kind of is an idol at Chelsea. He's the most winningest coach in their history. You know, coach. He is a great coach. But, you know, something happened. And I mean, you have talked about it before. Something happened to him when he went to Real Madrid. When he went off to me, he went off to the negative side. He became to be those kind of people that you just think on mind games, arrogance, you know, again, searching for scapegoats, lashing out at people, lashing out at players, at the media, conspiracy, you know, nobody loves me. And, he, you know, he came back to Chelsea with the chance to start new and go back to the team he says that owns his heart. And he called himself the lucky one. And, you know, the first season he didn't win anything. Second season he wins the premiership, you know, and he's got quite a squad. Now the third season here, all of a sudden, beginning in preseason, there's signs that the team is just not there. And me and you have spoken about that because you've called some of those preseason games. Mm-hmm. And what I always saw is Mourinho became, it's about me. It became the Jose Mourinho show. That's the problem that I have because it became the focus about him, you know, and how, and he took his digs at Arsene Wenger, you know. He took digs at the press, you know, and I think what he did to Dr. Eva Carneiro was disgraceful, you know. It's disgraceful. And then, you know, he didn't search for solutions. You know, he blamed other things, conspiracies, a referee, his geek, you know.
And then ultimately his players, Rodrigo. Then ultimately the final straw was his players.
Yeah, all of a sudden the players betrayed me. They didn't do what I asked them. They went on their own. And, you know, you're the coach, and you're getting paid a lot of money to sort these things out. You know, you looked at it, he was looked at as the great motivator. You know, and he was. But here he was unable to find a solution to Chelsea's, you know, spiraling down. And, you know, and when he was questioned by the media, you know, he lost it. You could tell he was losing it on all ends. And I think he lost the dressing room at an early stage. And it just got worse and worse and worse and worse. And I think he could get past it. And that's what did him in. That's what finds him in. And I think something had to be done because Chelsea hadn't been in this position since they were relegated.
Yeah.
You know, back in the 80s, back when I started watching them. So yeah, and Abramovich has, you know, paid him a lot of money, and you know, and he's, you know, the Russian has a lot of, he's got a lot of prestige in his team. You know, he's not going to let someone drag it to the mud. You know.
Well,
no,
I think it
much.
Got embarrassing for the club, honestly. I think that to me is what really kind of turned this on his head, is because it became an embarrassment now to Chelsea,
yes,
the club, and the bigger institution of the club, and not a singular person. Rodrigo, we're up on a hard break. I got to go. Thank you very much for all your time here and weighing in here tonight. Rodrigo De Luna of Fiesta, and also a correspondent here of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gau Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, tonight we wrap it up in style. Dynamo President, Chief Operating Officer Chris Canetti joining me. Chris, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Glenn. Glad to be here tonight.
All right, let's first talk about a big day today down at BBVA Cuppa Stadium. Christian Maidana, obviously here in town now with his family, as well as Andrew Wenger, the two recent acquisitions. Let's just talk a little bit about today and actually seeing your two acquisitions in the flesh.
Well, it's great having him in town. It turns out that Andrew is here for Danny Cruz's wedding, and Christian Maidana is in to do some house hunting with his family. So the stars aligned, and we were able to bring them together for a little bit of a media function. But for me, it was the first time I've had a chance to meet him in person and talk to him, and it was great to see the excitement that they have being in Houston. And, you know, when we made this move a few weeks ago, we knew it was a critical offseason trade for us to bring in two acquisitions that are going to be key pieces to the team. Players that our manager Owen Coyle is very high on, and they just fit the plan in terms of where we're trying to move the club.
First impression, starting with Christian Maidana first, about the two individuals, you know, when meeting them, because we all make judgment.
Well, Maidana's that true number 10 that we've been looking for. You know, as we built our plans for this offseason, we said we're going to build our team around having a number 10 in the middle of the field. So it was great to get him, a guy who's had 28 assists in MLS in the last 2 years, proven in this league, you know, versus going outside the league and trying to bring someone in who may or may not work, needs to adjust, et cetera. So from that perspective, great to have him. And in terms of meeting him today, you could see the excitement in his face when we walked him out and he saw the stadium for the first time. He's never played here. And to see his family's excitement as well. They've already found a place to live and looking forward to moving here. And it's great to have people that want to be here and be part of the club. And I would say exactly the same thing for Andrew Wenger. You know, he's had a conversation with Owen. He knows what his role is going to be already. He's excited about his role. You know, he's been moved all over the park in his career so far. And I think he's happy to be set into a specific position on the wing and in a wide area. And going to bring what Owen likes to call pace and power to the field.
Talk a little bit about Maidana and the saleability now that this team actually has a number 10 and a playmaker, which has been absent. Let's be real honest here. They haven't had one really since the days of Dwayne De Rosario and Stuart Holden. To know that you have a player that really is going to be top heavy on creating and making plays in a higher area of the field, that's a saleable piece, right, for next year and the playing style.
Yeah, you know, I've read lots of different places. People worried about his defensive play. We didn't bring him in here for his defensive play. We brought him in here to be very creative and to make chances for our wide players, whether it be Giles or Andrew or even any of the strikers that we're going to have in the lineup, whether it's Eric Torres or Mauro Manotas or Will Bruin. So we feel like there's lots of good parts around him that can finish. We need to score more goals. We didn't create enough chances last year. And again, that was 1A on the planning list for us to bring in a guy that create chances, and we feel like we got a good one here. I feel like this trade has been sort of underestimated by people around the league with some of the other moves that have been going on. We feel like this is a very big move for the club.
Why do you think that is? Is it not a glamorous move, or are some people missing the point here with Christian Maidana?
I'm not sure, to be honest with you. Again, this is a guy that's recorded 28 assists in 2 years in this league. And, you know, he was number two in the league in assists this year behind Giovinco. So he's a chance creator, and I think he's going to be exciting for our fans. I mean, we've heard over the last decade that fans want to see players like this who are more exciting, not necessarily always having to have a two-way player who's going to, you know, go box to box. This is a guy that's hopefully going to get people off their feet when he's got the ball at his feet. And, you know, I said, give the goal scorers an opportunity to put the ball in the back of the net.
Chris Canetti joining us here on ESPN 97.5 as we continue our soccer talk here, wrapping it up here tonight in big style. What are some of the other key pieces for the Dynamo in the offseason? Obviously, you've re-signed some of the elements that need to come back. What are some of the other key pieces for you in the offseason?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously we've released about seven players from the squad in order to free up some space to make other moves. You know, obviously replaced them, some of those spots, with Maidana and Wenger so far. We've re-signed six key players in Barnes and Bruin and Clark and Williams and who am I missing here?
Boniek.
And, you know, it's been a good start on that front. But we still have some more pieces we want to bring in. There's, you know, at least two or three vacancies. We need to find another central midfielder to play next to Ricardo. We're looking for help at the center back position. We've got targets in mind in both of those areas, and you know, our goal would be to have both of those players signed and in camp when it opens up in January.
Will we see more? Will these be domestic? Will these be foreign signings? Will we see a combination of both?
You know, right now the target for these players is foreign. We literally have names and efforts in place to go. Acquire these players, and the targets that are in mind would be coming in from a foreign land.
All right, let's talk about Dynamo ownership. This is another big piece that's occurred here recently with Gabriel Brenner acquiring the majority interest in the club. He's also brought in two investors, one a young man from Portland, another one a local that's involved with the Houston Astros. Are they strictly investors? Are they men that are going to bring vision ideas? How does it work, and how do you explain that to the soccer fan?
We've got a group of partners who are passionate about the team. They're committed to winning. And they're engaged. And I think it's a great mix. We've got, you know, Brenner as the majority partner, who's going to be the lead man in running the show. Of course, Oscar De La Hoya as well. Having, you know, two owners of Mexican descent, I think, is of value to us. And then Ben Giel, who's the local investor, well connected in the city, owns a piece of the Astros, a very nice man, and you know, quickly becoming a Dynamo fan, and is going to be a resource for us in doing business throughout the city. And then Jake Silverstein is our target audience. He's 30 years old. He's a millennial. He is the guy we want to talk to, you know, as a fan. And you know, living in Portland, he understands the soccer culture and the environment. So you know, combined, these guys all have good ideas, good experiences, good background, good wealth, and I'm excited about working with this group. And there's going to be a bit of a transition, you know, for me in terms of you know, managing them and working with them and getting to know everything. But it's a very positive step for the Dynamo and Dynamo fans, and it's an infusion of energy, I think.
Yeah, from your position, do you want ideas from them, or do you want them just to be the guy who's, you know, the guys that are investing in the club? But are you going to seek out vision and ideas and things from them? I mean, is that what you want? I don't know.
No, absolutely. I mean, look, they've put me here to run the team and to be in charge and to make decisions and to protect their asset for them and to build their asset and all those good things. But at the end of the day, what I want is engaged owners who are on the pulse of the club and the environment, good or bad, right? If there's a challenge, I want them to understand what that challenge is and help me overcome that challenge and have the ideas and the thoughts and perhaps make the investment required. So, again, I'm going to spend a lot of my time going forward managing up, if you will, educating them on all the good, the bad, the ugly, the ins and outs. It was, someone said to me the other day, how the sausage is made, if you will, and so that that they really can get a great feel for everything that's going on. And I think that's the best way forward for the club, to have owners that are intimately engaged. And I know that's going to be the case. And you know, I read some things about Brenner this week, nothing negative, but you know, people were characterizing him as another owner from outside the market. What people need to know about him is he's been coming to Houston since he was 11. His two sisters live here. His parents have a home here. He got married here. His grandparents used to live here and are buried here. And he's got businesses here. So this is a man that is, you know, passionate about this city. He's connected to this city. And you know, is well dialed into this city as well. So it's going to be good.
Yeah. By the way, his brother also was a part owner of the Houston Hotshots with Giorgio Berlanghi back in that would be 94 through probably 2000. Mm-hmm. Who now lives in Mexico City. So yeah, he's got soccer background here. A little bit on obviously. The on-field, we know. The product is improving. It's a different purpose of play being brought in. How about the biggest challenges for you off-field going into the next season?
Well, it's nothing new. I wouldn't say there's any new challenge that's come up here in the last year or 6 months. You know, on a go-forward basis, we're trying to build and grow our fan base. That's the most important thing. And the bigger our fan base can become, the more successful we can become as an organization. So it's about making the connection with the community and you know, staying out in front on everything, and you know, and just creating experiences for people to tie themselves to the Dynamo brand on whatever level possible, but get them connected on some level and just continue to push and create an affinity for the team. And you know, the more fans we have, the better everything is going to be, from attendance to sponsorship to television ratings to merchandise sales, you name it. So that's the challenge we have as a young organization that's just completed its first decade of existence. And, you know, that's what we come to work for every day.
Lots of content coming through Houston. We got Women's Olympic qualifying here at BBVA Compass Stadium in the coming months. We've got the Copa Centenario over at Energy Stadium. Next year in the winter, we have the Men's NCAA College Cup. A ton of things going on. How do you look at the broad picture of the coming year and kind of align yourself with all these other things? Because anything soccer-wise that takes precedent here in Houston should include the Dynamo, right?
Yeah, absolutely, and the Dash, right? So the CONCACAF qualifiers, that's a women's thing. So, you know, the Dash will be front and center there. And, you know, we'll work with the organizers of Copa America to be tied into that and make sure the Dynamo are around that. The more soccer, the better, is as I see it. The more people see the excitement and connect to it, the more it's going to trickle over to the Dynamo and the Dash. So, yes, it's going to be a busy summer of soccer and calendar year of soccer here in Houston and even around the world with the Euros and the Olympics and everything else going on. But, you know, I think it's fantastic, and it's all good for growing the game, and that helps the Dynamo.
Yeah, what point does this become competition, though? I mean, there's only so much everybody can take. You got Euros, which are going to fill bars here in Houston. Mm-hmm. You got the Olympics, which will draw a lot of attention. It may draw a little bit less if the U.S. doesn't qualify on the men's side. Of course, you mentioned the Copa Centenario. You're not only getting competition from other sports, you're getting competition within your own sport.
Yeah, it's a balancing act, and that's what we'll have to figure out. But, again, we're going to use all of this soccer content as a way to put our brand front and center and our brands with the Dynamo and the Dash there's plenty of soccer fans in this city to support our club, multi times over. So it's about, capturing that soccer fan and, making them fans of the Houston Dynamo. That's what we're trying to do.
Chris, to you and your family, happy holidays. Thank you very much for your time, as always.
Glenn, same to you. Have a great holidays, and we'll see you in the new year.
We wrap it up tonight with Chris Kennedy. Don't forget, Monday and Tuesday, we are back on the air with Soccer Matters right here on ESPN 97.5. So we're hitting it hard. We're hitting it heavy before Christmas Day on the 25th. So, again, next week, Monday and Tuesday, 7 p.m., it'll be Soccer Matters right here on ESPN 97.5. For all you listening in tonight, thank you very much, and we will see you on Monday.
Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's mind.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words "Jesus saves" written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That's amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.